Thank you. At the beginning of this new year, I discovered that I was in a little bit of a reflective mood. Now, I think I go through this every new year. So this time, I decided to take myself to a quiet spot and claim some private time just for my personal reflection. So I chose my favorite chair, my lazy boy rocker in the living room. And I determined that my time would not be spent pondering the events of the past or even thinking about what that new year might bring. Now, it seems that this time, my need for reflection went beyond what appears on the surface of daily living. I found myself thinking more deeper, profound considerations, contemplating the essence and the meaning of life itself. Exactly what are those underlying essentials of life? Now, my thoughts included the issues that go beyond celebration and symbolism. Now, this may have seemed like a noble adventure, maybe a little overwhelming, definitely a little overwhelming, but still at where I was at the time. My desire was to ponder truth. I understood that truth was that firm foundation of illumined realization. So I asked myself, what do I know about truth? Well, I have been studying a spiritual teaching for a very long time, but exactly what have I learned? Divine science offers a way of life, one that is compatible with the realities of eternal life, calling that the truth of us. So I felt it was now time to return to the basics of the teaching and once again read the words of the founders. So my first act was to go to my bookstore, my bookcase, and take some of my divine science books from the shelf. So I chose for my reading Irvin Gray's book, The Divine Science Way, Nona Brooks's books, Mysteries and Short Lessons in Divine Science. Now, these books, they cover a wide range of topics for study and contemplation. For instance, they discuss prosperity and health, human characteristics and relationships, suffering and old age. And then there is the caution concerning our thoughts and our habits. Again, I was reminded that divine science does not deny those aspects that are assigned to the human being. And yes, you want to know how to deal with them. And then there are those other chapters that continue in a different way, discussing what is real, what is unreal, what is that that's temporary. But what about the absolute? It speaks of consciousness. And of course, it tells us about that process called growth and unfoldment. In all of the books, there is that thread of truth that regardless of what we are going through as individuals, it does not negate Christ, the absolute self of our being. Always the assurance is given that right now, while yet in the flesh, we may live as the divine self, the Christ self, as the only begotten child of God. We like this idea. But in order to do so, we must know us in that way. And the reason is, we can only demonstrate from the level of our consciousness, from our place of acceptance. And unless we are consciously aware that there is such a thing as a divine aspect of us, we will not be able to live as a spiritual being, and we will not manifest what belongs to that self. Whatever idea we accept for us, we hold in consciousness, and it will outpicture as our world, as our friends and our jobs, all of our conditions and those circumstances. the need to practice the presence and live the truth that we are able to accept is the way of growth and unfoldment. The Bible says it this way, step by step, precept upon precept, is the way to greater wisdom concerning the true essence of life. Now our founders told us that yes, this is the way, but it is not an easy one. And so in my time of reflection and pondering and contemplating, I determined that one detriment to our spiritual growth is belief in separation from God. Now we may intellectually agree with what we have read in those books, but until we accept the omnipresence of God for us, until we can do this, we will not benefit at all from what we read in those books. Now many think that the beautiful promises of the Bible will be ours, but only when we die and go to heaven. The thinking is that when we leave the physical body behind, that at that time we will go to heaven and be with God. But this thinking contradicts everything that Jesus taught. Remember, he located the kingdom of heaven in us, and then he said, it's available now, at hand, right now. At any time, please turn in an inward way, and you will find him. While yet walking in the human flesh, Jesus knew that he was not separated from his Father. He asked us to do the same. The message is right where we stand is holy ground. Spiritual consciousness is that firm foundation, and it does support the true essentials of life in its variety of form. Now, our founders pointed out that while we are indeed that one of spirit, this is not easy for us to accept that this is so, especially when we keep looking outside us for validation of our reality. There again, that is what belief in separation from God is all about. And that's what keeps us out of the kingdom, even though it is available and at hand. Now, in my time of reflection, I was reminded that the only way to get beyond the belief in separation from God is to have God as a personal experience. So for me, the most important chapters in those books are the ones that speak of prayer, meditation, and the silence. Jesus told us God is spirit. The kingdom is a spiritual one. So it is reasonable to conclude that in order to have God as our personal experience, we must go to where God is. And we can only go to where God is when we take us out of this world and enter the sanctuary of our inner being. This requires us to become still, refraining from thought and the spoken word. Now, if you remember, I chose a quiet place for my reflection. God will not be found in the whirlwind of my human thoughts, with its ability to reason, debate, and argue. Nor will he be found in a state of confused or misguided concepts and ideas. There again, the Bible really is quite clear. Be still and know that I am God. Know that there is this something, an affirmative, creative something that is instantly available. Really doesn't matter what we call it. Some of us will continue to call this presence God. Others will call it infinite life principle, the infinite mind, or perhaps the creative intelligence of the universe. Whatever we call it, we can identify with it. And in that process, we become consciously aware of it. And yes, then it becomes our experience. Now, one important aspect of the way of unfoldment that I want to point out is the need to spend time in the quiet sanctuary of inner being. Divine science teaches the Bible as every man's and every woman's journey from the Adam sense of life to Christ consciousness. The whole Bible is the story of man's growing awareness of his relation to God. Our founders speak of the importance of the silence. They told us that it is in the silence that we harmonize our being with that of our source, with infinite mind, life, and truth. Now, it really isn't necessary to try to define God. Just allow for the feeling and sensing that come with being in His presence. As I read those divine science books, I was reminded of what Jesus had to say about prayer. In Matthew 6, we read, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they might be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." When we enter the sanctuary of inner being, it's just us and God. And what takes place there is done in secret. No one else has access to what happens to an individual in their private time with God. What is of God is sacred, and it is holy, and it is meant just for us. Now, we all know about secrets. When we have pieces of information that we don't want everyone to have access to, we call them secrets. Now, while we don't want everyone to have access to this information, we do want to share it to a degree, but only with a chosen few who we are certain will keep this information secret. Well, we all know how that turns out. Once the secret escapes our lips, it gets passed on to others. And of course, all who receive it promise that, oh yes, they will keep it secret. But before long, everybody knows our secret. And the interesting thing is that each time that it got passed on, the telling of it was altered a wee bit, and the end result bore little resemblance to the original story. Now, the human nature loves to be included among the privileged few who are trusted with that secret. And if we are not included, well, we feel left out. Actually, we should be relieved not to be asked to keep a secret. That way, we won't feel guilty when we are tempted to pass it on. And you see, this is why what happens in the sanctuary of inner being should remain secret, just between us and God. When we do attempt to share it with others, that is, what is received in the holy time, we may find us sharing with those who are not yet ready to receive our pearl. Even when we attempt to share with those who are on the spiritual path, we may also run into a little difficulty. You see, our fellow truth students, they may want to offer their spin and opinion on what we have told them, debating and arguing with our interpretation, certain that they have a better understanding of what was given to us. I cannot emphasize enough that that some things are meant just for us. Many times, prayers offered to God are personal, and they are of no concern to others, which is why Jesus advised us to pray in secret. Now, this does not mean that we cannot come together with others in prayer, or meet in a church or another holy place for the purpose of prayer. Because you see, Jesus also taught that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And to me, this is the key to the lesson that lies in the words, in my name. Those who are interested in having God as a personal experience come together in truth. They inspire and encourage each other in ways that benefit our growth and unfoldment, not unlike our Tuesday evening prayer and study group. Caution is given to the one who prays in public places in order to be seen by others or for that personal glorification. We speak of traveling to a high mountain, or perhaps to a temple in Jerusalem to offer our prayers, assuming we will be closer to God in those places. How silly of us. The holiest of all places is the kingdom of heaven, and by now we all remember that Jesus located it in us. God is in that kingdom. And the instruction is, turn and you will find me. He doesn't ask us to travel long distances or even to follow rituals and established dogma. Jesus told us that the child knows the Father. And then he told us that all of us are children of the Most High, and our mutual name is Christ. Christ abides in the Father's house of inner being, which validates the message, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Another reason we should keep our spiritual experience secret is that at first, we really don't have much to share. We can only practice and live what we can accept in consciousness. And at first, we are simply feeling our way, testing this and trying that, not yet established in truth. As I've already pointed out, we can only demonstrate the degree of our understanding. A child in second grade can only demonstrate what is contained in that level of training. An individual who has completed his very first lesson in practicing the piano has a great deal more to learn before he can share his music with the audiences at Carnegie Hall or the Kennedy Center. Now, our first attempts at meditation, they may not go well. Our thoughts may wander all over the place, ignoring our command to be still. We find our attention drawn to the noise next door or to the sounds in the street. And in our attempt to relax, we may fall asleep. We may spend a great deal of time trying to be still before we can actually be still. Some individuals practice an entire lifetime and they never reach that state we call the silence. Which means that having God as a personal experience, well, that's going to have to wait for the revelation of another lifetime or two. Let us never, ever try to demonstrate beyond our ability to do so. Our attempts will fail, falling on deaf ears, causing confusion and disbelief to everyone who hears it. Now, if all that we have is a wish or a hope that we find the path, means we have not yet found it. When we do find it, we will know without a doubt that we will find it. And we have done so. You see, in our private time with God, we will have heard the words, "This is the way," or "My power is upon you, and I have ordained you to do my work." These are the revelations of inner being. They are of God, they are sacred, and they are holy. And yes, let's keep them secret. Now, once we have attained some knowledge of God's presence, and it has to a degree become our experience, it still isn't necessary to tell others about it. There is no need to promote ourselves in any way. Remember, it is our conscious awareness of I that goes before us, making every crooked place straight. Not by personal might or power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Keeping our spiritual life secret allows it to remain pure, not diluted by what others might have to say or what they think. However, we are also told that what is received in silence shall be shouted from the rooftop. What is hidden shall be revealed. You see, when God is our personal experience, the spiritual fruit is ours, and we will be known by our fruit. We will be known by our kind acts, our works, and our deeds. A state of consciousness stayed on God will draw others to it, sensing its purity of intent and purpose. The founders of divine science urge us to practice God's presence and live what we know to be true of us. So let us remember to take time to be holy, to become still and go within. This is following Jesus' instructions to go into the closet, close the door of the sanctuary, and shut off the sounds and the sights of the five senses. Only when we've laid aside the personal self will we be able to reach the center of our being. By our stillness, we indicate our humility, our acknowledgement that God is, and beside Him, there is none else. Within us, yes, they are the issues of life, and they are decided there. Within us is the entire kingdom of immortality, eternality, harmony, health, joy, and love. And when we surrender that little self, we find this in the rhythm of life that lives us and moves us according to divine guidance and inspiration. This morning, I urge all of you to also find a quiet spot and take time for personal reflection. These times of contemplation, they bring clarity in place of confusion. In the absence of thought, we find us in a different place, one that is free of the erroneous and misguided conclusions of our human understanding. Be still and know is the command. What is given in the silence is between us and God. Wisdom dictates that we keep it secret. Let us do so. This morning we have the opportunity to claim some private time with God. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we begin our time of meditation, we enter the silence to commune with God. In the privacy of our soul's awareness, we feel His presence, and we know we are not alone. God in the midst of us never leaves us. Turn and you will find me. I prepare for you a table of spiritual refreshment. I lead you beside the still waters and into the paths of righteousness. I give you the words to speak and the actions to take. But you must first turn to me to enter my kingdom and shut the door to the outside world. What I give you in this time of solitude is meant for you. Accept it. Take it into your receptive consciousness and allow it to do my work. I've sent you into this world to be my avenue of expression. Allow me to live you and move you. You are my child, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.